Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
Good morning, Virgin Most Powerful listeners. Eddie Chavez here, Jesus 911, final day of the week. Jess is doing some apostolic work. He's out there working it. And I have a special guest you guys all recognize, Mr. Terry Barber. Terry, are you...
I'm reporting for duty, sir.
There you go.
And you know what? I'm honored to be here with you, Eddie, because spiritual warfare is something for everyone, okay? Even me. I mean, I run into it on a regular basis, so I'm honored to be here. And your topic really got my attention.
You know, Terry, I'm glad that you are here. And that's the truth, Terry, is that we all are going to be in the fight.
Exactly.
And if we're not in the fight, we're the victims. That's the reality of it.
Well
so
said.
That's beautiful. So we're gonna talk today, a good topic. It's the haunting of five saints who battle demons. And, you know, we have several saints in the church, well, many saints in the church, Terry, that battle demons during their life. And so I want to get into that a little bit right now. And this is how it starts. It says this. It says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's Ephesians 6. That's the spiritual warfare verse, Terry.
Yeah, amen.
And it says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. That's 1 Peter 8. The spiritual world is real. Nobody has to convince me and Terry or Jess about that. But a lot of people, especially in today's society, Terry, are kind of doubting this. I think there's a general attitude of not only that it doesn't exist, but that the opposite, the actual occultism, a paganism, etc., that's actually becoming a big part of today's world. That's what's concerning to me.
Eddie, you're absolutely right, and both you and Jesse and Ruben are all cops. And Jesse, as a boxer, if he didn't think the guy that he was going into the ring, he was going to be boxing for a fight, and he didn't think it was his opponent to knock him out, what would happen to Jesse? He'd be knocked out because he doesn't acknowledge that there's an opponent. And this is my point. As cops, you go out and try and keep the order, but there are bad guys out there. But if you, as a cop, Eddie, said, no, there's no bad guys, everybody's good, well, you know, Eddie, you wouldn't be doing your job.
That's right.
And you'd fall. So here's my point. We have to understand we are in a battle for our soul. And life is short and eternity is forever. And the sooner we acknowledge that there is an evil spirit out to get you and your family and that you need to defend yourself, you will lose every time without having an attitude that acknowledges good over evil.
And Terry, that's why Jesus 911 specifically empowers men, because men are the factor right now in today's society that are bringing up the back.
Yeah.
And they have this Adamic response. You know, they respond like Adam. The devil turns up and approaches the family, the wife, and he doesn't say anything. They remain silent. And this is what the problem is. So once we realize what to do, how to do it safely, then we can continue with this. But the article goes on, Terry. It says,
yes.
Although Satan and his demons rarely reveal themselves to ordinary people, when it comes to those who are strong in the Lord like saints, demons apparently sometimes make open attacks. Of course, Jesus has already overcome Satan and all the evil forces of this world. Though Satan rages on, looking for souls to pull down to hell with him, any person who abides in Jesus cannot be separated from God. Terry, one of the things I've noticed about the saint we're talking about today, one of the first saints we're talking about is Saint Anthony of the Desert. And Saint Anthony was approached one time by a novice, and the novice told him, Saint Anthony, we pray many hours of the day, we fast every day, we do a penance. That's what we do nowadays, but the future generations to come, what will happen to them? And Saint Anthony says, well, they will not be able to fast. They will not pray every day. They will find it difficult to do penance. But we fight Satan chained. They will fight Satan unchained.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Statement. That's prophetic when you really think
about
it. Yes,
it is.
You know, Eddie, you made a comment here that I think is so well when you said that if we're basically living in the state of grace, the devil cannot touch us. And, you know, when people ask me, oh, the devil's not, you know, first question I ask people, are you living a sacramental life? Are you going to church, receiving the Holy Eucharist? Are you going to confession? Because Father Amorth, the exorcist, former exorcist in Rome, said confession is more powerful than an exorcism.
Right, right.
So bottom line is, we're fighting the devil, but if we don't live in the state of grace, we're going to lose every time.
Yeah, you're right, Terry. You know, that we tend as human beings to make this such a difficult battle.
Isn't that the truth?
And you know, Terry, it's not a difficult battle. Stay in a state of grace. You're going to be fine. You know, you'll have to go in and get washed up a little bit, polished up. That's fine. But if you can stay out of a state of mortal sin, Terry, the devil cannot harm you. He will tempt them. And it talks here about temptations.
Tell us.
And we have to know that the devil tempts us in an ordinary manner. Mm-hmm. So we'll get tempted. We'll get, you know, some thoughts to come into our mind. We'll have some minor invitations to do things. But that's the ordinary way. We're talking about the saints here, Terry. The saints take it a step above. So I think that what happens is these saints are extraordinary battles with the demons, extraordinary interaction with them, mm-hmm. because they are saints. And I think that the some of the demons, Terry, understand that when you have a saint, although the angels can't tell the future, they can sense somebody's holiness, somebody exudes holiness. I think they can tell.
Well, in warfare, Eddie, you know this, they go after the generals, right?
Yes.
Why do they go after the generals? Because if they can knock the general down, everybody else is going to go running. So holy people are going to be attacked.
Right.
Because there are generals.
Yes, they are. They are. So it says, don't let these stories frighten you. Rather, these stories be reminders that Satan and his temptations and sin are real. It says, even if you don't see him like these saints did. And it's true. Most of us will not see the demons like these saints saw them, thank God. Mm. But yeah, let's talk about the first one, Terry. The first one is St. Anthony the Great. The lion was roaring, wishing to attack. Now, a 3rd and 4th century desert monk. We know about St. Anthony from a biography written by St. Athanasius called The Life of St. Anthony. It says that when people would visit St. Anthony at his desert home, mm-hmm. they heard tumults, many voices, and, as it were, the clash of arms. At night, they saw the mountain become full of wild beasts and him also fighting as though against visible beings and praying against them. That's very dramatic.
Oh, it's very graphic.
It happens at night, and you know, that's when people these rebellious angels manifested and came up and actually oppressed St. Anthony.
Eddie, I think you've shared this on Jesus 911, but it'd probably be good to do it again. The 3 o'clock hour, the Divine Mercy hour, but the devil actually, I found that to be, from my reading of demonology, that the 3 a.m. hour is a lot of times the time when the devil will attack people.
Absolutely, Terry. You know what it is? It's 3 o'clock in the morning is the opposite of 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We know that 3 o'clock in the afternoon is the hour of mercy,
Amen.
Terry. And that's when Christ died on the cross mm-hmm. for the atonement of our sins, Terry. That's a reason for it. So the demons want to have some equal contribution to something that they're twisted manners, and they want to do something at 3 a.m. And Terry, we have to understand that when they attack at that time, we know that we pray a divine mercy or something that really reminds them of the passion of Christ.
Great advice.
In one story, St. Anthony decided to spend a night alone in a large tomb. A huge group of demons descended upon him and attacked his body. The devil so cut him with stripes that he lay on the ground speechless from the excessive pain. For he affirmed that the torture had been so excessive that no blows inflicted by man could have ever caused him such torment.
Wow.
This is, you know, Terry, this is almost as if St. Anthony entering into a sort of a mini passion.
Yes.
In other words, there's some suffering that's going to come along with this, but he was open to it. He understood it, and he entered into it.
Not only did he understand it, Eddie, as an example for us centuries later, he understood redemptive suffering, that he was imitating Jesus Christ, and he was offering up his suffering for the good of the church. And I say this because today, many of us are suffering in the church. And it's easy to say, oh, this is terrible. No, we have to unite our sufferings with the sufferings of Christ. Like the Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, I fill up what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ for the good of the church. So we can apply what St. Anthony had in his life to our life.
Yeah, Terry, you're so right about that. When we come back from the break, I want to tell a little story. We went on a confirmation retreat this past weekend.
Oh, can't wait.
And you know, Terry, the children are a reflection of their parents.
Absolutely.
And I'll tell you what, the children that were on this, the teenagers that were on this retreat, were very, very convinced about certain things in this society, Terry.
Yes.
And those things happen to be against Catholic teaching.
Ouch.
And it's terrible.
Normal.
Because that's what's going on in today's
exactly.
society. This is a typical parish. It's not a parish that has wayward Catholics. This is just a regular parish. And people that are coming to Mass, and they still believe some of the things that non-Catholics believe. This is something that's such a big deal, Terry. This is why we do the show.
Absolutely. I always say, who's influencing who? Is the world influencing more, or is Jesus Christ influencing more? Here at the Jesus 911, we try to introduce people to the person of Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. I'm excited to hear your story when we come back to the break, because I've heard it and you're going to want to hear this. Get yourself a cup of coffee. Might need a little stronger than normal for this one. We'll be right back.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Welcome back, Jesus 911. I am Eddie Chavez. Jess is doing some apostolic work. And, sir, are you reporting for duty?
I am reporting for duty, sir, and I am honored to be here again on Jesus 911. And I just want to make a little plug for the Terry and Jesse show. Father Murr's going to be with us. And we got a great show coming up because we're going to be talking about what does Bishop Athanasius Schneider have in common with Monsignor Charles Pope? And they're both, you know, extraordinary priests. When you hear what they have in common, you're going to go, I have that in common with them. What? So I'm glad to be here, Jess.
Terry, I was going to mention a story that happened
over
the weekend. Very interesting story. And there were several of them that happened, but this one happened the first night we were there.
This is a retreat for confirmation
okay. students.
Yeah.
And we're showing individual video clips of the Stations of the Cross.
Awesome.
So we get to the station where Christ is going through his suffering and Christ is actually going to die. Terry, the moment that Jesus Christ dies on the cross,
yes.
I was sitting there looking at my computer, just kind of getting it ready, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden I heard screams.
Wow.
I heard screams. You know, we turned the lights on, we looked out, and there was a young girl that had passed out. She ended up going home because there was some kind of, it looked to the nurses as if it was a epilepsy, some mm-hmm. kind of seizure, but it wasn't. It was something that the mom said that the doctor said there's nothing wrong with her. So we're concluding it must have been something spiritual. But the girl that found her, that was sitting next to her, told me that from that time on, she didn't feel comfortable in the room anymore.
Wow.
She told me that there was an issue. And the next morning when she came up to me, she said, I have some marks on my stomach.
Oh my God.
So we said, well, okay, let's see what we're going to do. So I had the nurse look at her stomach. There was some markings there. And so I said, you know what? We're going to use this prayer book from Liber Christo with Father Ripberger's crew, and we're going to pray over. So I took my sacramento as a crucifix, Terry.
Yep.
I've been exercised, and I had her hold the crucifix on her stomach. My wife and a few other people came,
awesome.
And we prayed for her. We went through a few of the prayers there. Terry, we did that, and her face suddenly changed. It became more clear. It became okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then as the next break, we talked to her. By that evening, she was fine.
Awesome.
And, you know, Terry, I'm telling you, these kind of things are happening because some of the kids that we have in our society today are doing things that, first of all, we're not totally aware of. Number two, the parents are ignoring them. And this is why the need for catechesis is so great, and it was a very difficult weekend to live, but it bore a lot of fruit.
Absolutely. Well, that story just indicates to me that spiritual warfare is alive and well. And you're right about young people. You know, I even when I was young, I heard people. I never got into this, thanks be to God. But they talked about the Ouija board that was around, and they found it as like fascination, and that young people would want. Oh, what do you mean? If I can do this, I'll have power over you. I'll have stardom and all these things that the devil is attracting us to do. It's an age old problem. It's not going to go away. So we have to defend ourselves from that.
That's true, Terry. You know, the devil has certain things that he offers us, and they always work.
Yeah.
You know, fame, power, love.
Yeah.
Those are things that the human soul desires.
Right.
And so he's always going to put a stand in for that. And that's what we have to be aware of. So we're talking about St. Anthony here in this story, Terry. And so he gets beat up by some of the demons that are praying to him on the mountain.
Yeah.
And he says, the next day, a friend bringing him supplies found him and brought him back to the nearby village. But that evening, he regained consciousness and asked for the friend to carry him back to the tomb. So he was in a tomb and he got attacked by the devil. They took him out. And then he's asking him now, take me back. And after this, his friend shut him back in the tomb. St. Anthony called out. He says, here am I, Anthony. I flee not from your stripes, for even if you inflict more, nothing shall separate me from the love of Christ. Terry, this inspires me.
Repeat that. Nothing will separate me from the love of Christ.
Exactly.
Wow.
That's, you know, that's something that comes from Scripture. But Terry, to hear a human being do this, to hear St. Anthony do this in the early centuries of the church,
yep.
that makes me think it can be done.
Of course
it can be done. It may not be easy, and it may be more difficult now in 2020 than it was in the 3rd or 4th century. However, we can do it. We can persevere and be Satan-like and copy St. Anthony.
The reason I say I agree with you, Eddie, is this, because two reasons. One, miracles are taking place daily in our world today like they did at the time of Jesus and the early church. And spiritual warfare, actually, everybody, we know this for a fact, has actually grown. And I'll tell you why it has grown is because the lack of love of God has gone on in the world. We've become more secular. So as the culture becomes more secular, the devil gains more momentum. And as we get closer to Christ and live a Christ-centered life, the devil is tamed. So right now, he's loose, on a long leash. But the point is, as we get more secular, even in our church, the devil is going to have more power to bring people to him because of lack of prayers, lack of people going to church, the sacraments. As we walk away from confession, the devil gains more power.
Yeah, Terry, and here's how the story ends. You know, it talks about the demons returned, and here's how St. Anthony describes what happened
next.
He said, in the night, they made such a din that the whole of that place seemed to be shaken by an earthquake.
Wow.
The demons, as if breaking the four walls of the dwelling, seemed to enter through them, coming in the likeness of beasts and creepy things.
Mm.
And the place was all of a sudden filled with forms of lions, bears, leopards, bulls, serpents, asps, scorpions, and wolves. And each of them was moving according to his nature. So the angels can appear in another form.
Yeah.
Because obviously they're without the bodies. Mm-hmm. They can appear these, and they act according to the nature of whatever being they imitate. And the lion was roaring, wishing to attack, the bull seeming to toss with its horns, the serpent writhing, but unable to approach, and the wolf, as it rushed on, was restrained. Altogether, the noises of the apparitions with their angry ragings were dreadful. And so, Terry, you know, this is something where we need to understand that the demons are going to try to scare us, right? And though he was in terrible pain, St. Anthony responded to them, and he said, if there had been any power in you, it would have sufficed had one of you come. But since the Lord has made you weak, you attempt to terrify me by numbers. And proof of your weakness is that you take the shapes of brute beasts. So they're trying to appear more powerful than they are, Terry. But the reality is, when we're in Christ, when we are living a state of grace, they have no power.
Well said. That's why I say living in the presence of God, you have power to overcome Satan. And this is the key in holiness also, living in that state of grace, living in the presence of God. And you know, when you read this story, you think, oh man, that was like 1600 years ago. But you know what's so amazing about this is nothing's changed, okay? Human nature hasn't changed. We still have the effects of original sin. And the devil is continuing his campaign to try and bring souls to hell. So nothing has changed. What's changed is you're in the world now, and you have to, your opportunity for your short 60, 70, 80 years, for those who are strong, to save your soul. That's what we have to put in our head every day when we get up in the morning and do the morning offering. Jesus, I give myself to you each day, and you will live in the presence of God.
Terry, and this is why the devil is so astute at doing what he does.
Yeah.
Humanity has not changed.
Nothing.
In all that time. Yep. He's perfected on how to tempt people, how to oppress them. Well, he's an expert at it. Yeah. So anyway, suddenly here, the roof opened up and a bright light filled the tomb. The demons vanished and his pain ceased. Realizing what God that God had saved him, he prayed, "Where are you? Why did you not appear at the beginning to make my pain cease?" And God replied to him, "Anthony, I was here, but I waited to see your fight.
What?
Since you have endured and have not been beaten, I will ever be a succor to you and will make your name known everywhere."
Wow.
He's not going to make him famous, Terry, but he's going to make him known.
You know, Eddie, when you just said that, you know, he said, "Why did you not appear at the beginning to make my pains cease?" We can say that about our own life. I know you have been through, as a policeman, you guys go through things that I wouldn't even want to see. And you could say, "Well, why did I have to go through that?" But you see, God brings good even out of evil. So those things that you're suffering, mom and dad, right now, that you've had maybe child abuse when you were a youngster, God can still bring good out of that, because now you can knock that off in the next generation because you know that this was against God's laws. And so some of the things that have happened to you, you can say, woe is me, or you can say that Jesus, with your grace, I will overcome this obstacle in my life.
That's true, Terry. And you know what? That's the beauty of it. We are placed here to change the effect of our own generations. So, you know, my mother and father, there was some physical abuse in their family. Mm-hmm. And you know what? My mom married my father. That's the one thing couldn't happen. And it didn't happen. And today, to this day, me and my brother are fine. You know, but that took the courage of my mother and father to change that course. Yes, that's so. Okay, Terry, the next thing we have, I know this is one of your favorites. I want you to say something about him. But St. Padre Pio says, these devils don't stop striking me. Go ahead, Terry. I want to just say this.
This is a teaser for the break. I have a Padre Pio story of a man that I met in Rome. And it was that June of 2002. Does that ring anything? That's the day Padre Pio was canonized as a Catholic saint in the Catholic Church. And when I tell you my story about a man who met Padre Pio 25 years after Padre Pio died, does that imply that he came back from the dead? Yes. And I'm going to tell you that story so you won't, you know, during the break, why don't you just call your friends and say, hey, I know a friend who's devoted to Padre Pio. They need to hear this story of how Padre Pio will reach out for souls. Just on the opposite end, the devil's trying to destroy souls. Padre Pio was bringing souls to Christ even after his death. Even today, that's what we call the communion of the saints. Eddie, I just want to remind everybody, Father Joe Fessio, talk about spiritual warfare in the liturgy. We have a conference coming up on the 15th of March, and it's the Adoramus Conference. Let us adore him. That's in Latin. But it's going to be on the liturgy. And I'm going to tell you, you talk about spiritual warfare. If you don't have the liturgy right, if you don't understand what takes place at Mass, you're missing the spiritual warfare, because we are present at that one eternal sacrifice every time we go to Mass. If you want to register, you should register, mom and dad, call 877-526-2151 or go online to virginmostpowerfulradio.org under events. And you know what else we have? You'll see that Dr. Sandoval's coming. Catholic Mental Health Conference coming up. We have all these for you for one reason: to help you get to heaven and your family to get to heaven. You're listening to Jesus 911. Eddie Chavez, Terry Barber filling in for Jess. We come back, you're going to hear a great story about Padre Pio coming back from the dead.
This is Matthew Arnold for Virgin Most Powerful Radio. This March, VMPR, in association with the Catholic Resource Center, will be hosting a special conference for the Adoramus Society. Adoramus at the Triduum, a conference on the spirituality of the Triduum liturgies, featuring speakers Father Joseph Fessio, Dr. Anthony Lillis, and Christopher Karstens, addressing such topics as developing a liturgical spirituality, the spirituality of Holy Thursday, the spirituality of Good Friday, and the spirituality of the Paschal Vigil and Easter season. It all takes place March 14th, 2020, at the historic Sacred Heart Chapel at 381 West Center Street, Covina, California, 91723. You can register online at vmpr.org or call now at 877-526-2151 to reserve your seat today for Adoramus at the Triduum. Psalm 119 says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light to my path." According to St. John Paul II, being a Christian means saying yes to Jesus Christ. It consists in surrendering to the word of God and relying on it, but also endeavoring to know better and better the profound meaning of this word. May God grant that we always rely on His Word, read it often, and put it into practice.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, Eddie and Terry here. Jess is taking the day off for some apostolic work. Terry, we're talking about St. Padre Pio. I want to introduce him real quick, and then you go ahead and tell a story.
Absolutely.
That you're going to say. He says he was born in the 19th century. St. Yep. Padre Pio lived and died in Italy, but was known and revered throughout the world when he died in 1968. That's mm-hmm. in my lifetime.
Absolutely.
A holy priest, a miracle worker, and a stigmatist, St. Padre Pio was also regularly attacked by demons. Terry, you know what? I think it's a good time to tell your story.
Just well, here's my story, folks. I have a great devotion to Padre Pio. In 1968, when he died, I was 12 years old, and we watched the 50 Years of Thorns. And this is the one-hour, it was on 16-millimeter film back then. And we had about 125 people in the back of our yard, and my dad, the local parish priest, was there. And this was the first time I watched this story on Padre Pio. I'd heard about him, but it really impressed me. And so I've always had devotion to him. Well, in 2002, he was canonized as a saint. So I took my family to that canonization. And while I was there, we went to San Giovanni Rotondo to go visit the grave of Padre Pio. And thousands of people are there. And, you know, most of them are foreigners, obviously. And course, I ran out of money, so I had to go get a credit card advance at the bank, but everybody else was in line, so I told my wife gently, honey, I'll watch the kids while you wait in line. So she waited in line for an hour, and so I'm playing ball with the kids to keep them going, and I hear a gentleman speaking English. Well, he was the only one I could hear speaking English. So, you know, I'm conversationalist, so I say, excuse me, sir, what part of the world are you from? England. And I said, well, what brought you to the canonization of St. Padre Pio? He says, you really want to know? I said, yeah, bring it on. I got an hour here, man. Turn me on to it. Let's go. He says, well, I had been a pagan for 30 years. And in the 1980s, I would ride on trains to work every day. And in about 1984, I was on this train, and there was a Franciscan monk sitting in the same car where I was at. And he went up to me and he said, young man, you need to be right with God. You need to go to confession. I can hear your confession. And he goes, I looked at that monk and I said, man, is he bold? I don't need to go to confession. I'm not even a practicing Catholic. And I told him, I said, I'm not interested. Thanks, but no thanks. And this monk said back, well, you have free will to say yes or say no to God. It's better that you say yes, because saying no to God, you go to hell for that. I mean, you know, we talk about people, don't tell someone that, you'll scare them. Padre Pio wasn't afraid to telling people to go, you're going to hell.
Right.
So he says to me, he went home, he put his feet up on the chair like he does every day, gets a can of beer, and starts flipping through the stations on one of these little remote control deals. And all of a sudden he sees that monk on television. It looks exactly like the guy on the train. But they were showing the 50 Years of Thorns of Padre Pio. Wow. And so he looked and he said, I'm not going to turn the station. He watched the whole hour show. He heard about Padre Pio with the stigmata, the wounds of Christ. He heard about how Padre Pio would come back and he always would try and get souls that were away from the church back to the church, like me, he said. And he even would come back from the dead to work with people. What? So he figured out that that must have been Padre Pio. So he thought, wow. The next morning, I better get to confession. But he said, I had a hard time getting up because I was so blown away. Well, my wife said, what's wrong? You always go to work. I'm not going to work today, honey. What do you mean? So he says to her what happened to him last night. And the wife says, well, let's go to confession then. Come on. So gentlemen, what's the message? When your wife says to go to confession, always go. So he goes to confession. The priest was awesome. For about 2 hours, heard his confession. He did it all. And he said to me that when I got back into the faith, because it was Padre Pio who appeared to me, I was going to spend the rest of my life starting Padre Pio prayer groups up and down England, where people would go to Mass, confession, rosary, and they would learn more about their faith. And he started hundreds of these up in England.
Wow.
So I was blown away that I met the man at the Padre Pio canonization, who Padre Pio visited him, 20 years after the death?
After his death.
And I say this to everybody, that don't forget, the saints are here to help us to get to heaven. Call on their intercession. But let's continue more about how Padre Pio had to deal with Satan, because obviously Padre Pio was public enemy number one in the 1960s, especially.
Of course, Terry. And you know what? That's why a saint like him chooses a sinner, a public sinner like that man,
yeah,
because he knows the fruit that would come from it in the years to follow. So according to Father Gabriel Amorth, a leading Vatican exorcist, Padre Pio's real enemies were the demons who besieged him. The great and constant struggle of Padre Pio's life was with those enemies of God and human souls, the devils who tried to capture his soul. Even in his youth, St. Padre Pio would enjoy incredible celestial visions, but also suffer demonic attacks. It says here, the devil would appear to him as an ugly black cat or in the shape of a truly repugnant animal. Mm. The obvious intent was to fill him with terror. Other demons came as young girls, nude and provocative, performing obscene dances to test the young priest's chastity. But Padre Pio sensed his greatest danger when the devil tried to deceive him by taking on the form of one of his superiors,
brutal,
his provincial superior or his spiritual director, or in a sacred form, the Lord, the Virgin, or Saint Francis. Terry, this is the level of attacks that the devil implements to the saints.
And you know what? St. Padre Pio brought so many people back to the church. I have a story about a GI friend of mine who fought in World War II, who was a catcher for the Brooklyn Dodgers. And he went to World War II, and he served Mass for Padre Pio. And Padre Pio told him, you're to become a Catholic priest after the war. And this man, Father John McKenna, said, "Hey, Padre, I'm the catcher for the Brooklyn Dodgers. No way." Because he was a great athlete. But I say this, the reason the devil is attacking Padre Pio, because look at the good this man did in bringing souls to Christ, especially vocations. I know many priests who are priests today even because of Padre Pio. So why do you think the devil's attacking him? Look at the good. Look at the zeal he had for the salvation of souls. And the devil's saying, I got to stop this guy.
Terry, and the reality is, he can't stop him. He's dead. Exactly. He's gone, and the devil can't stop him. He doesn't.
Well said.
He didn't die the second death. He lives on.
Yeah.
Terry, I'm reminded when it talks here about human, human disembodied spirits.
Yes, yes.
And so, Terry, the thing to remember here is that the disembodied human spirits never give this aura of fear or trembling. They always are asking for help, especially if it's a Catholic priest. So we have to understand that most of the time, if there's something that's bothering you or bothering somebody that says it's a disembodied human spirit or claims to be a disembodied human spirit, there's negative things happening, that I think we could safely assume that a devil has taken has assumed the nature of a disembodied human spirit and now is tempting people to establish a relationship, because that's what the devil does, establish relationships with people that ultimately give their authority, their power to him, and that's how he possesses individuals.
Eddie, is it a fair statement on Padre Pio's zeal for the salvation of souls that the weakness of an individual, when they start practicing mortal sin, that it's like a porthole for the devil to get in? Is that a fair statement?
Absolutely, Terry. I mean, it's a beacon for the demons. It's a beacon, and it glows until it gets the attention of a demon, and they will take advantage of that. That's the issue. And thanks for bringing that up, because that's a very important aspect of spiritual warfare that we have to put out there, that people have to understand.
Well said. Continue on this story, because Padre Pio, please pray for us. Go ahead.
Yeah, it says, So he says that the last tactic of the devil appearing as somebody good and holy was a particular problem. Here's how St. Padre Pio would discern a vision.
Yeah.
He noticed a certain timidity when the Virgin or the Lord first appeared, followed by a sense of peace when the vision departed. On the other hand, a devil in sacred form provoked an immediate feeling of joy and attraction. So the devil can evoke a feeling of joy and attraction, but it's replaced afterwards by remorse and sadness. That's how you can tell, Terry. You can tell if somebody has a story that they feel joy and happiness at the appearance of somebody that they're not sure who it was.
Yeah.
If they then afterwards feel remorse and sadness, this is how we can tell. And when we come back, I'm going to tell a story too, Terry, about an old friend of ours, Father John Carapi, who told a story that was very, very impelling. And it changed my life as far as spiritual warfare went. Way back when he told this story about a woman who came to him and said to him, "Father Carapi, the Blessed Virgin Mary is appearing to me."
Wow, this is an amazing story.
Yeah.
When you come back, we'll do that. I just want to remind everybody that we do have this app that's a free app. Can you use your social media, friends, to just get the word out that people can download Virgin Most Powerful Radio's app for free? Because that's how we're expanding our listenership all over the world. I just spoke with a priest in Poland yesterday who listens to us regularly on the app. So this is happening all over the world. Radio stations really are going to be a thing of the past in the future. Everything's going to be on your phone. We see it coming. It's been going on for, 7 or 8 years now?
Yes.
So I just want to encourage you, would you please do your best to help spread what Virgin Most Powerful is all about by telling people to download the app. And here's what I'm willing to do. Give you cards so that whenever you're at someplace, just give the person a card and it tells you how to get the free app, because without you, we can't do anything, okay? And I also want to take this time especially to thank all the monthly donors. We are going to have our monthly donor dinner in June, right before the men's conference. So that's the middle of June coming up. And also, I mentioned Dr. Sandoval, who's been on the Jesus 911 show many times.
Yes.
He's agreed to do a Catholic mental health seminar on the 25th of April.
That's unprecedented, Terry.
No,
nobody does that.
Nobody does that. You got a doctor coming to talk about spiritual warfare.
That's right.
And you can register by calling 877-526-2151. We come back. Eddie's got a story about Father Carapi talking about a demonic story, or I should say a story about a woman who thought she was seeing the Blessed Virgin Mary. We'll be back with that story and more on Jesus 911.
On apologetics, you have entered into Virgin Most Powerful's Apologetics Dojo, where we go wall to wall with defending, explaining, sharing the faith. Master Apologist Carlo Broussard. Carlo, welcome to Hands on Apologetics.
Hey, Gary, it's great to be back in the dojo, my friend.
Master Apologist Ken Hensley, welcome to Hands on Apologetics.
Good to see you again, Gary. Good to be with you.
Michael Barber, welcome. You have entered into the Virgin Most Powerful's Apologetics Dojo.
Gary, thanks for having me on.
We are chatting with Master Apologist Carl Keating.
Gary, it's great to be back with you.
Coming into the dojo is our good friend Steve Ray.
Thank you, Gary. Good to be here.
Tim Staples, welcome to Hands on Apologetics.
Hey, it's great to be with you, Gary. Thanks for having me on.
Join many others in Gary Machuda's Apologetics Dojo.
We have some of the best Catholic apologists in the nation.
Streaming live weekdays from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific. Hands-on Apologetics on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Jesus said in Luke 17, "When you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have only done our duty.'" According to St. John of the Cross, God is pleased with the little deeds we do in secret. He takes more pleasure in these than in a multitude of grand works that we may do out of the desire to be seen by others. May God help us to do the things that please Him, and not just to appear great in the eyes of others.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Hello, Jesus. I'm sorry, Jesus 911. We're back. Terry and Eddie, we're going to wrap up the show today this week. But Terry, we're finishing up with Padre Pio, and it reminded me of a story.
Good. That, I want to hear it.
That Father Carapi said some years ago,
yeah.
when I was working as his bodyguard on the West Coast, anyway,
yeah.
And you know, he would say things on the stage, and then he'd have dinner with us afterwards, and we'd talk about it. He'd give a little more information, but this is what he said. He says he was giving a conference one time, and after on one of the breaks, a woman came up to him and said, "Father Carapi, I need to speak with you because you see, Father Carapi, the Blessed Virgin Mary has been appearing to me." Mm-hmm. He says, wow. And she said, well, what do you think, Father? Should we go to the bishop? Should we write a letter? What should we do? He says, well, let me do this. He says, let me give you this bottle of holy water. He says, the next time the Blessed Virgin Mary appears to you, and it was happening in a church, Terry. It was happening in a church. The next time the Blessed Virgin Mary appears to you, get this bottle of holy water and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And she says, what? She says, how could I do that? He goes, well, listen. He said, if it's the Blessed Virgin Mary, she'll know what you're up to. She won't be offended. But if it's not the Blessed Virgin Mary and it's the devil, you'll expose him.
Well said.
And she said, okay. So she waited till the next time that the devil appeared to her. It was in the church in front of a statue. And when she appeared,
yeah.
She took the holy water, and she blessed it just like Father Carapi had asked her to do. At that point, the statue turned from the Blessed Virgin Mary, and the wings of the demon of Lucifer spread out.
Whoa.
And it exposed who he was.
That's awesome.
What this was telling us, Terry, and then what they did is they examined it a little bit. They went to this woman's home, and they realized that for a long time the devil had said, come to the church, offer me your prayers, offer me get a good devotion to me. And so she listened to her. She thought it was legitimate. And then they found that in her sink the dishes were piling up.
Yeah.
They noticed the laundry room it was full of clothes, unwashed clothes. And so Terry, the reality is this: the Blessed Virgin Mary always took care of business when she was on earth. She never let her duties of her home, of the home of the Holy Family, get beyond her. And this is what the devil used this particular time to call this lady away. So, Terry, this is the importance of it. And that's why when people say, I see this, I see that, I'm always taking a step back and say, let's examine, because you can't be certain of those things until there's some type of proof.
We've experienced that in our lifetime. False apparitions have gone on for years. And it really makes sense because the devil likes to reverse things. Everything he does is in reverse order. And so if you think that you're seeing the Blessed Virgin Mary, be careful, because I wouldn't put that on you that you are, because it's not as common as some people would say.
Well, Terry, even in the church, you have apparitions of the Blessed Virgin Mary. I'm going to give you an example at Garabandal, Spain, mm-hmm. that were not legitimate and were examined, and you had bishops saying, no, this is not from God. And I think this is the lesson to be learned, Terry.
Tell me.
Is that whenever the Blessed Virgin Mary appears, that's a great grace that God gives her and gives us to allow that to happen. So the devil, obviously, is the Bible says where grace abounds, there too goes the devil. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, I think that the devil interferes. It does his best to get in the way so that these opportunities of grace for the faithful are interrupted and thrown off. So, I mean, it makes sense to me that the devil's around there. And he was everywhere. I think he was at some of the other apparitions too.
Well, Bayside, New York is another one that many of my friends in the 1970s would fly all the way to New York to go see this.
And Veronica Lukens was her name.
You got it. Yes, I remember it well. And I said, as a young man, I was probably 22 years old, I said, wait a minute, why are you guys going out to New York for these apparitions when the greatest miracle takes place on every altar in the Catholic Church? Somehow I got that understanding that, hey, let's stay focused on the fundamentals of the faith, the Mass. It's the Mass.
That's true, Terry. That's where the heaven touches earth.
Yep.
And there's no reason to pay attention to anything else.
Amen.
Okay, so let's go here. Let's go to the next saint. I think we're talking about, this is a beautiful saint, Terry. I look at her and I go, my gosh, this is just, she just exudes the beauty of her holiness. It comes out. But Saint Gemma Galgani says his brutal claws. Saint Gemma Galgani was a late 19th century Italian mystic who had incredible spiritual and spiritual experiences.
Mm-hmm.
In a letter to a priest, she wrote this. She said, during my last 2 days, Jesus has been telling me, after Holy Communion, my daughter, the devil will soon wage a great war against you. These words I hear in my heart continuously. Please pray for me. She quickly realized that prayer was the best defense. In response, Satan gave her violent headaches in order to make sleeping difficult for her. Her fatigue then made sleeping more difficult, but she persevered. Mm. Terry, this is how they do a warfare, actual human warfare in World War I and World War II. It's sleep deprivation.
Yep.
That's how you drive somebody crazy. That's what the devil was trying to do here. He says, how many efforts does not that wretch make to make it impossible for me to pray? Yesterday evening, he tried to kill me and would have succeeded if Jesus had not come quickly to my aid.
Wow.
I was terrified and kept the image of Jesus in my mind.
Powerful.
Terry,
powerful.
We have to understand there are times, for example, when we're doing a deliverance,
yes,
and maybe sometimes an exorcism,
yes,
when the individual that we're praying with begins to manifest. You were there. I remember the one time. I do recall.
And when one time is enough for me.
Yeah, and when they begin to manifest, Terry, yeah, sometimes it's very nerve-wracking.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're not sure what to expect, what limits are there. But if you can't pray,
yeah,
and just like St. Gemma Galgani, you can keep the image of Jesus in your mind. That's enough to suffice. If you're in a state of grace, that's enough to keep the demons away from you because you are doing something that the saints did. That's beautiful.
That's a powerful story, Eddie. And I would say that again and again, that we have to live in the presence of God. We have to live in the state of grace because this is how we defend ourselves. And not only ourselves, but especially dads, your family. You're the first line of defense for mom and the kids. If you're not living the state of grace, that opens up your wife and the kids to demonic activity.
That's right. And when we examine the amount of divorces, the 40, 50, 60% divorce rate, now we know why the devil has made inroads and taking over the
Take
church.
Take dad out of the picture, man.
He's out. He's not there to protect them. The kids are on their own. This is what's going on in today's society. That's one of the reasons, Terry, why I participated in catechism. You sometimes get some very beautiful stories that happen in those cases.
Sure.
So it says, at one point while she was writing a letter, the devil snatched the pen from her hand and tore up the paper, then dragged her from the table, seizing her by the hair with such violence that it came off in his brutal claws.
Wow, I can picture that.
Yes. She describes another attack in one of her writings. She says, the demon came before me as a giant of great height and kept saying to me, for thee there is no more hope of salvation.
Wow.
Thou art in my hands. I replied that God is merciful and therefore I fear nothing. Then, giving me a hard blow on the head in a rage, he said, accursed be you. And then he disappeared. Terry, this is what the devil does. There's no hope of salvation. You're finished. You're done. Come to me.
Eddie, you nailed it. And that's why I say a lot of people who have depression, yes, there's sometimes it's mental and they have like a lack of chemicals in their brain and they need some medication. I'm all for that. But I got to tell you, teen suicide is at its highest rate in my lifetime. And I believe a lot of the teen suicide is dealing with depression, where kids are being taught secular things to a point where God is not even in their life. And they look and they go, well, if I'm not as pretty as this girl on this internet site, then I must not be worth anything, because they haven't been taught the meaning and purpose of life. So the devil's attacking young people right now because they don't have a foundation.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing, Terry. You know, once a father leaves and the household breaks down and you get a substitute dad, a mom gets a boyfriend, that's when everything breaks down. That's when it's so difficult. But that's where the kids have the power, Terry, to break that generational curse. And that's what we're trying to do with
these
teens. So she says, I then went to my room to rest, and there I found him. He began again to strike me with a knotted rope and wanted me to listen to him while he suggested wickedness.
Oh, no.
I said no, and he struck me even harder, knocking my head violently against the ground. At a certain point, it came to my mind to invoke Jesus' Father. And I said, Eternal Father, through the most precious blood of Jesus, free me. I then don't quite know what happened. That contemptible beast dragged me from my bed and threw me, hitting my head against the floor with such force that it pains me still. I became senseless and remained lying there until I came to myself a long time afterwards. Jesus be thanked. Terry, this is something that happens a lot. People are dragged off their bed many times with demonic influence in their life. And the thing is that they're not in a position to pray that prayer that Jim Galgani prayed with, Eternal Father, to the most precious blood of Jesus, free me. There's a whole litany with those, Terry.
Absolutely. And, you know, this is First Friday of the month, okay, folks? So here's a suggestion. If you're waiting for a suggestion, go to Mass, go to Holy Communion, get the confession, make those first nine Fridays of the month, each for 9 months. Start today, okay? I'm your spiritual fitness trainer, so we're telling you. I went to Mass this morning. I went to Holy Communion. It's the first Friday of the month. And then look up, just Google Sacred Heart of Jesus promises and ask yourself, do I want those promises that Jesus Christ gave to St. Margaret Mary? And one of them is final perseverance. So you want to overcome the devil? You live a holy life, and if you're not going to the Mass on first Fridays of each month, start today. Make that commitment, because you'll never regret doing that.
Terry, and this is just such a beautiful story, St. Gemma Galgani, because, you know, she even, this is what I like about her.
Tell me.
She interjects humor.
Oh,
so
I
she
love
says,
it.
She even used humor against the devil.
That's the way to do it.
And that's true, because you can't take these things too serious.
Yeah.
Terry, when you start doing a deliverance or an exorcism, then you have to interject humor.
It irritates the devil too.
That's right. It does, because you're not taking him serious.
Exactly.
This is what it says. It says, if you have seen him when he fled making faces, you would have burst out laughing. He's so ugly. But Jesus told me, do not be afraid of him. That's our message, Terry. Our message is Jesus 9-1. Do not be afraid of the devil.
And the Bible says, do not be afraid 365 times. Why? Because you, our listener, do not be afraid. Love Jesus. Get to heaven with your family. Hey, Eddie, up next, Gary Machuda, right?
Gary Machuda, Hands-On Apologetics. He has a great guest on, so stand by for him.
He always does. And don't forget, after that, the Terry and Jesse Show, I have a message from Bishop Athanasius Schneider and Monsignor Charles Pope regarding the crisis in the church. I think you're going to love it. I'll be back in an hour, but tune in right now to Gary Machuda, Hands-On Apologetics. May God richly bless you and your family. Full sheen ahead.
Thanks, Gary.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to Thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou Thyself maintain them in holiness. O Divine and Great High Priest, may the power of Thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of Thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For Thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin Most Powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.